What an incredible thing to be reminded that we are made of stardust, that our bodies are made of the same elements that make up rivers, mountains, forests, the oceans, redwoods, the bumblebees, and hummingbirds, and that through mystery hidden in mystery, we are here today.
In July, Lynn and I donned backpacks filled with layers of clothes, and then one or the other of us carried a camp stove and fuel, a bear box with snacks and dehydrated meals, a tent, sleeping bags, bug repellent, sunscreen, a water purifying device, and bottles of water. We were trying to make sure that our packs were relatively equitable in weight. Packing is an art form. And packing lightly is not a gift that either of us have been blessed with in this lifetime. But when one is backpacking, one must wear as little as possible. We set out at a reasonably early hour on a Monday with our friend and colleague, Sonia Sukowski, who serves the congregation out in Sonora. She is a rather seasoned backpacker. It had been nearly 2 decades since I was last on the trail, and I was both excited and nervous. Excited to see what we would see, for the conversations that might unfold, for the opportunity to be present to all the magnificence there is. Nervous. Would we see a bear? As the shortest one of the three, would I be able to keep up? Would I sleep, or would I just worry about every little sound in the dark? On our way to the ranger station to get our permit, we ran into road construction. Not uncommon this time of year there. Thankfully, it was not too dreadfully long, and we made our way to the trailhead parking lot. And off we were on a 3-day adventure that would take us up and down a couple of thousands of feet elevation change in the Emigrant Wilderness area north of Yosemite. We walked on soil, dry, dusty dirt mostly, though there were patches of dark brown mud in places, and we saw 18, 19, 20 different kinds of wildflowers, often in those muddy areas, and got more mosquito bites than I can count, even with using the repellent. And the higher up we got, the more stones we saw. Big, huge, tectonically shifted boulders of granite, not quite earthly plates. I mean, the size of these stones really helps put things in perspective. We camped the first night about 6.5 miles in. In the morning, we confirmed a plan to just do a day hike, leaving most of the things set up in camp, and had a goal of getting to the first lake and then just deciding what else we would do that day. As we scrambled a bit up loose gravel and dry, dusty dirt and granite boulders, we heard, "Hikers! Hikers!" as we ran into the California Conservation Corps. This young group of folks were doing trail maintenance, and they were warning people up the trail that we were coming because they were hurling boulders around to help make the trail more easily traversable. We offered words and bows of thanks to them, and they seemed both pleased to be affirmed and a little uncomfortable with all the praise we heaped on them. It just felt so important to acknowledge the seemingly back-breaking, certainly back-aching work that they were doing that helps people like us find our way in and our way home. They all recommended a stop at Gem Lake. So after climbing for quite some time, the trail evened out, and as we rounded a corner, the expanse of lake opened before us. An incredible sight of water, soil, and stones lay before us. We walked to the far side where granite slabs allowed easy entry into the cold lake. I sat there, perched on the stone, debating to dive or not to dive. That was the question. And I thought, well, when is the next time I'm going to be hiking in the Emigrant Wilderness in 90-plus degree heat, having lunch in an incredibly beautiful place? Just jump already. And I did. And then I exited rather quickly to lay down on the warm granite, shivering, because I don't really like the cold very much. Wikipedia describes the area as consisting of many sparsely vegetated granitic ridges interspersed with numerous lakes and meadows. This so does not even begin to describe what we saw, what blessed our eyes and ears. And though I was nervous, I was willing to face my fears by doing what I could to prepare for the trip, trusting in my comrades, honoring my feelings and asking for what I needed, and enjoying the view. The last mile back to the car was hard. My knees were really bothering me. But Sonia offered me her trekking poles, and Lynn stopped to check on me every once in a while, reassuring me that it was okay to stop and rest for a bit when I needed to. Over those 3 days, we saw the physical beauty of water, soil, and stone. And I also felt them through the tears of laughter and sadness in our shared stories, nurturing through our shared snacks, and the solidity of friendship and shared experiences. Ponder this thing in your heart. Ponder with awe. This is the marvel of life, rising to see and to know. Out of your heart, cry wonder. Sing that we live.
Today we celebrate the gifts of water, soil, and stone. Water that flows, soil that nourishes, stones that strengthen. The house that we rent is blessed with a large garden that's been lovingly built over many years. There are large stones that create support and variety around the many beds. Some of the beds have been dug deeply with lots of compost and manure added, while other beds have soil that's more compact and thin. Preparing soil can be time-consuming and back-straining work. It requires attention and consideration of what we want to have flourish there. Cucumbers love compost, onions thrive in potash, and tomatoes will take all the manure you can give them. Each variety wants a different amount of sunlight and heat and water. It isn't actually that different from SFUU's mission of creating beloved community that respects diversities. We have to pay attention to what different people need and not expect everyone to thrive in the same way. So what brought us here? It's my guess that most of us are here because, like Nobaya, the animals, the land around them, we are thirsty. Thirsty for connection and for spiritual sustenance. Thirsty for conversations, not debates. Thirsty to make a difference. Are you thirsty too? So here we are at the well, hoping to scoop up enough life-giving, soul-sustaining, thirst-quenching goodness to last us through the week or longer. And when there is a spiritual drought going on in the world, it can be hard to remember that there is enough water to share. There are many folks out there who will argue for the illusion of our separateness. This illusion says that we're all individuals. We better just look out for ourselves. And my dear people, we know that we are not separate. We recognize that we are all connected and that we depend upon one another more than we know. Today we celebrate our connections and our interdependence. Like the anteater, the hyenas, the hedgehog, and Nobaya, no one here can dig a well all on their own. We need one another. We get to take turns giving and receiving. There are so many who are thirsty. Will we let them know we are here? That we have sustenance to share? Will we have the courage to invite them? Though it might mean being a little nervous, and we don't know how it will bring changes, still will we make room for those who are thirsty, for this community, for Unitarian Universalism? How might we collectively dig a well that will nourish all who need it? This coming year, let us work together to create a spiritual well that is as deep as our hearts and as wide as our thirst. Let us be like water, as poet Kendra Ford suggests. Run deep, run clear, fill any space to its own dimensions. Respond to the moon, to gravity. Change colors with the light. Hold your temperature longer than the surrounding air. Take the coast by storm. Go underground. Bend light. Be the one thing that people need even when they're fasting. Eat boulders quietly. Be a universal solvent. And let us also be like soil and stones, offering nourishment and strength to one another. May it be so. Blessed be, and amen.